Universal Music Group has reportedly threatened legal action against Israeli singer Netta. You might remember her as the winner of this year's Eurovision Song Contest. Universal Music Group is threatening to sue the singer for her winning song Toy, which features a musical hook that they say is copied from the song Seven Nation Army by the group White Stripes. Zan Rowe is a music journalist and presenter for Double J. Zan, welcome to RN Drive.
Very good to be here.
Firstly, we've worked a little bit of radio magic here and put the two hooks side by side. Let's take a listen. So, Zan, what's your verdict?
Well, I'm not the judge in the case, and I feel like you'd probably have a bit more sway in this conversation, given that you usually host the Law Report, so
yeah,
you probably know what
I'm not
kind
great
of case
on music,
they have.
Though, so I reckon you're equally qualified, perhaps more so.
Well, here's the thing. I was actually a judge on Eurovision this year. I was one part of the official Australian jury, and so I was obviously, you know, watching Netta in the depths of 4 or 5 a.m. when she was performing that as a part of Eurovision 2018, and I'd never seen those or heard those similarities before until now. And yes, when I listen back to it with that gaze under that context of Seven Nation Army, I can hear a similarity. But I would also argue that that is a really basic baseline. It is the White Stripes' biggest hit that they've ever had. It's used all over the world. It's often used in sporting competitions. It's a super bass chord structure. And in that case, I think similarities can exist. And this is where we get into murky territory, I think, when it comes to copyright on songs. Every other week, we're hearing about different cases, and it's been going on for decades. But particularly these days, when it's much harder to make a living out of music, where the model of selling records is really just completely gone now that there's streaming services and people can access music for a very small amount of the cost they used to be able to. The way that you make money is by having a hit and, of course, having the copyright, getting the publishing on that song. And so when Netta comes through with a song like Toy, which wins Eurovision and is going to sell millions of copies, and it sounds a little bit like Seven Nation Army, maybe Universal Music feel that there is a case to be had. There's been a precedent for this, though, many precedents, in fact. I guess in terms of the chord structure argument, Radiohead broke through in the early 90s with a song called Creep, which is, again, one of their most well-known songs. And back when that happened, a band called The Hollies claimed that it stole the melody and the rhythm of their 1972 song, The Air That I Breathe. Now, the songwriters behind that, Albert Hammond and Michael Hazlewood, they won the case and they got a co-credit on the song. And that was the same deal, four very simple chords. So it's kind of this idea of what you do with, you know, basic chords and chord structure and whether you could argue that that is copying or stealing someone else's idea.
And what's the difference between, or what's the line between similarity and plagiarism?
And inspiration as well. That's the other part of it. I mean, think about this. There's entire genres like folk and blues and hip hop, and they're all based out of borrowing very liberally from tradition or necessity. I think that if it's a direct rip, like, okay, here's an example of a direct rip. George Harrison and his big hit My Sweet Lord that everyone would know.
Yes.
That is a direct ripoff of a 60s girl group called the Chiffons, He's So Fine. Now, he said he copied it subconsciously, which is a great get-out-of-jail-free card. It's like, yeah, I copied it, but, you know, it was subconscious. I didn't know I was doing it.
Really? It matters what's in your mind as opposed to actually what actually is coming out of the microphone?
That was his argument back in the day. And I think that these days, again, like I said, when the situation's changed in terms of how people earn, people are more likely to actually go a bit harder and, you know, ask you to own up to or indeed argue the case for whether or not you've done it knowingly, whether it's a conscious or subconscious decision. I reckon one of the most interesting cases in this field of recent days is something that was actually just ruled upon in the appeals court.
Oh, earlier
in
this
March.
Year. That's right.
Yeah.
Pharrell Williams and is it Thick?
Yeah, Robin Thick.
Yep.
Now, they had a huge hit, which you would have heard on commercial radio a million times and probably in every single shopping centre that you've ever been in, called Blurred Lines. And in 2014, the family of the late great soul singer Marvin Gaye, they filed a suit alleging that Robin Thicke's big hit, co-written with Pharrell Williams, had infringed upon Marvin Gaye's song Got to Give It Up, which is a huge hit as well. A Los Angeles jury at the time did find them guilty, and they ordered the payment of $5.3 million to Marvin Gaye's family from these two songwriters, as well as, and this is the all-important bit for such a huge hit, 50% of the song's future royalties.
Wow.
Now, yeah, massive deal. When it was obviously taken to appeal by Robin Thicke and Pharrell Williams in the appeals court, which was just ruled upon in March this year, they ruled in favour again of Gaye's family. So that original ruling upheld. But there were a couple of dissenting judges, and one of them, Judge Jacqueline Nguyen, said that the two songs resembled each other in style but not in substance. And it really was a question of the kind of vibe, almost like it was the genre of the song, and trend is such a huge thing in music. And she really pointed out that this decision that had been made in the appeals court was detrimental to the future of artists and creativity. She said that the majority allows the Gays to accomplish what no one has before, that copyright has a musical style. So this is where we get into tricky territory. I think in very simple chord structures, in the tenets of rock and roll and soul and funk, where they're, you know, you listen to the glory days of disco, and to be honest, love it, but most of those songs sound very similar.
Yep.
But are you going to launch a legal case against those artists and say you stole from this? Because it's trend comes into it as well. So it is such an interesting legal minefield, and just becomes more and more interesting as we get, you know, further away from other ways to make money in music. And really, when you are making music through money through publishing, you're going to hang on to that. If you think that someone else has stolen from your song, then you're going to want to have a payday from that.
If this case proceeds and if it is successful, do you reckon that Netta could lose her Eurovision crown?
I'm not sure. It's really hard to speculate on that. Again, pop music borrows a lot from different ideas and trends as well. It's hard to say, you know, it's a songwriting contest. So it's as much about the songwriters and the original song they've created as it is about the performance and the person who's singing it. So it's hard to say. For the part of the people who are actually involved, so far Universal Music has just said that they have an intention to sue. No legal proceedings have been launched yet, but they said they've got an intention to sue. And the songwriters behind the song feel that they really have no case, so they feel pretty confidently that they can put this one to bed.
Zan Rowe, music journalist and presenter for Double J, thanks so much for speaking to RN Drive.
Thanks, Damien.
That was Zan Rowe, music journalist and presenter of the Double J, and I'm Damien Carrick, and you're listening to RN Drive.